With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
One category.
I don't get a chance to go to many movies.
15 seconds.
Time, Dayton. You got two running backs.
Oh, my gosh.
How will you handle the pressure?
Tom, Teddy, Roger, Junior.
It's Pick a Player.
He has a slider from hell.
On the Drive.
Halfway home on the Drive. Thank you so much for listening. Carrington Harrison, Steven Spector, Sean Levine, taking you up until 6 o'clock. If you're driving to the lake, if you're driving to the grandparents' house, the in-laws' house, drive safely, travel safe, and hopefully we'll help get you there in an entertaining fashion. Coming up at 4:30, we have been doing this like quarterback series that we just kind of stumbled upon. If you want to vote in it, I think you can go on our Twitter page right now and vote. There are two buttons for you to press. One button on the left is Matt Ryan. Patrick Mahomes can become Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is a really good quarterback, has gone to a Super Bowl, but has not won a Super Bowl. On button right, you can roll the dice, and Patrick Mahomes could become any other quarterback. What would you do? If you want to vote on it, go on our Twitter page, and you can vote on it, twitter.com/610sports.com. We'll continue to update you, and we'll let you know how the people are voting. But right now, it is time for Pick a Player. If you don't know how the rules of Pick a Player go, first off, shame on you for not listening, but we appreciate you listening now. Pick a Player is very simple. I'll give you a category. Let's say it's baseball teams. So you go Royals, Cubs, Indians, Tigers. You get 15 seconds to name as many baseball teams, whatever category that is. Then you go up against the player. Spector, today's player is one Josh Vernier. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
All right, Josh Vernier is today's player. He has four categories. The winner, what do they get today?
Pair of Royals A's tickets for June 2nd.
All right. Well, the next 6-10 Saturday, Royals and A's.
That could be a future ALCS matchup, actually.
I think it might be this year's ALCS matchup when you really think about it. Two teams right now that their organizations are heading in the absolute right direction.
Absolutely.
All right. We got four callers on the phone right now. Paul, Bob, Neil, and Alex on the phone line. We head to Paul in Independence first. Paul, how you doing today, man?
Good. How you doing, bud?
Doing fantastic. All right, 1, 2, 3, or 4. Which one you picking?
We're going to go with 3.
All right, 3. How many different kinds of sodas can you name in 15 seconds? Paul, on your mark, get set, go.
Coke, Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, Mountain Dew, Shasta, Peach Knee High, RC, Cherry RC, 7-Up, Sprite, Cherry 7-Up, Cherry Coke, Wild Cherry Pepsi, Code Red, Mountain Dew.
All right, let me put you on hold there. He's a big fan of the cherry flavor.
Oh, my goodness. What's the record that you guys have had doing this over the years?
18, I think. Sean Smith, former Chiefs cornerback. He is the record holder for Pick a Player. I got him down for 14.
I got 14 also.
He was a big fan of cherry. I mean, I can't really fault you. Adding cherry to anything, like the first person that added cherry to Sprite, great person.
Genius.
Yeah, I mean,
I wonder if that guy's a former waiter who had to be like, oh, we got Coke, Cherry Coke, Diet Coke, Mountain Dew, and Sprite. What do you want, man?
I always hate when you ask for Sprite and they're like, oh, we don't have Pepsi problem. All right, well, you know what I asked for. Just give me the Sierra Mist. Right? It's not that big of a difference.
Coke, is a Pepsi okay? Actually, no.
Yeah, it's the same.
I'm going to get a coffee.
If they said no Sprite, Sierra Mist, I'm not taking the Sierra Mist.
Oh, okay, yeah. I mean, I just always, that's fine. I don't ever switch.
Give me the Sprite.
I mean, I guess the point is they don't have both, though.
Wait, you want to go across the street to a different restaurant and get you a Sprite?
No, then I just would get a different drink, but I don't want the Sierra Mist.
Oh, okay, I got you.
I don't want the lemon lime fizzle drink.
The fake Sprite. Yeah, the fake Sprite. Okay, all right, I get you. All right, let's see if Vern knows his sodas. Hit it, Spec.
Sprite, Diet Sprite, Coke, Pepsi, Diet Coke, Diet Pepsi, Mountain Dew, Diet Mountain Dew, Code Red, Mountain Dew, Slice, Barks, A&W, Squirt. Is Squirt still around?
I got him down for a 13 ball.
Yeah, Baker's Dozen 13.
I got him down for a 13 ball. Mountain Dew only tastes good with Taco Bell. It doesn't taste good in any other circumstance.
Or if you're playing video games.
Other than when you're eating Taco Bell.
Nobody started naming the off-brand sodas that I grew up with. Dr. Thunder, Mr. Fizz, White Lightning. Oh, I guess he did. He said squirt there at the end. You guys, Shasta? Is that still around?
Yeah, you guys Shasta? Don't know anything about vests. I don't know how you guys don't know anything about that. All right, so Paul and Independence with a plus one. That was a great game of pick a player. We'll head down the line to Bob in KC. Bob, how you doing, man?
Good, how are you guys?
All right, we've got one, two, and four. Take your pick.
I'll go four.
All right, four. How many different kinds of birds can you name in 15 seconds, Bob? You got birds. Take flight. One, two, three, go.
Orioles, Cardinals, Blue Jays, chickens, ducks, geese, birds of a feather, Seahawks, Raven.
I like the strategy there of just naming sports teams. That's a very, very good strategy.
He started. He's like Orioles, Eagles, then he switched to chickens and geese.
I got him down for the Kobe Bryant. I got him down for the eight.
I got one, two, three. Yeah, I got eight.
I got him down for the eight pack. All right, let's see if Vern is a bird watcher.
Robin, Eagle, Cardinal, Blue Jay, Oriole, Falcon, Crane, Pelican, Flamingo, Sparrow.
10.
I got him down for the 10 ball.
10-piece nugget.
What's the name if you're a bird watcher? I know there's a word for
ornithologist.
It. Oh, that's what it is. Oh, good word for you. I didn't know that's what it was. All right.
What's the name for an adult film watcher? That's a pornithologist.
Neil in KC.
I don't even have a sounder ready.
Yeah, I just try to move on when he does stuff like that. You know, I just try to keep my head down and keep plugging away. Neil in Kansas City, please save us. All right, we've got one and two. Which one you picking, Neil?
We'll go number two.
All right, number two. Vern had Disney characters. How many different Disney characters can you name in 15 seconds? On your mark, get set, go.
Give me that subject one more time.
Disney characters. How many different All right. Disney characters can you name in 15 seconds? On your mark, get set, go.
Snow White, Hercules, Cinderella, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, Elsa.
All right, let me put you on hold here. When he said Beauty and the Beast, are That's you two. Giving him the Beauty and the Beast?
Absolutely. Those are two separate characters. What are you rolling your eyes
Speck,
at,
Speck? You're the judge here.
Beauty and the Beast. I don't know if you said Beauty. The Beast.
I guess if he said 101 Dalmatians, we couldn't have gave him all the 101
yeah,
Dalmatians.
That would have been sweet strategy.
I don't think that counts if you want my – I mean, that's the name of a movie.
He should have said Rafiki. You guys know about Rafiki?
Yeah, we do know about Rafiki.
All right.
I mean, we grew up in the same time Just frame that you grew
sure.
up in.
He's the best
like
underrated.
Like we're 72 here.
Rafiki.
We watch the same movies. You know, you and I rep the same smart tech here. How many are you giving him?
I got one, two, three.
I'm not giving him Beauty and the Beast.
I'm giving him Beauty and the Beast. I got seven.
Okay, you're giving him Beauty and the Beast. All right, very generous on a Friday before the holiday. Let's see if Vern knows his Disney characters.
Aladdin, Jafar, Cinderella, Alice from Alice in Wonderland, the Cheshire Cat, Simba, Nala, Pocahontas, John Smith.
Oh, John Smith was an excellent pull.
How did nobody go with Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, those Donald, seem, Pluto?
No, those do. See, I think because they were like before our time. That you know, if you grew up in the 90s, or
they also aren't like movies. Like
yeah.
Mickey Mouse isn't a movie. They're
it was Disney characters.
I understand
they are
they're
Disney
Disneyland,
characters.
But when you think of Disney, you think of like
Mickey
animated
and Minnie
animated
Mouse.
Movies.
I would have done the same thing.
Little Mermaid. I would not have gone. I wouldn't have thought.
I
of
think
Mickey
it's just.
Either.
I really think it's time. I think if you grew up at the same time that all three of us grew up in the same time, if you're like under 35. I mean,
hold on. You would think that when people say Disney, that the thing they don't associate with is Mickey Mouse?
Let me answer.
Mickey Mouse!
Yeah, I'm saying is I think if you're a millennial, you grew up watching Disney, that you grew up watching Aladdin and Belle and all of them. So, like, those are the Disney characters to me. I'm not saying Mickey's not a Disney character. Obviously, he is. I just think if you're a millennial, those were our Disney characters. Where if you're a little bit older, I think you would say those characters because those were the ones you grew up on.
I don't think so. It's not generational. If you would say, hey, start naming baseball players, I'd start with Babe Ruth and Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio.
Very good point.
And Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse.
How many did he get?
He got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He got 9.
All right. We are headed to – so who won that game? Who won?
I believe Vern.
All right. Let's go to the phone. We got Alex. Alex, how you doing, man?
Good, thank you.
All right, you've got one more. You've got Famous Toms. Very tough category, but I believe in you, Alex. All right, you've got 15 seconds. How many famous people named Tom can you name in 15 seconds? On your mark, get set, go.
Tom Hanks, Tom Hiddleston, the Loki from Avengers.
Alex, you got a tough go. You got a tough go. Famous people named Tom is a very, very, very tough category.
Brady, Cruz, Tom and Jerry. That's all I got.
All right, let's see if Vern knows his Toms.
Tom Brady, Tom Seaver, Tom Joyner.
Ooh,
morning
pull.
Show talk show host. Right?
Good pull.
Tom Tiny Tim, that's Tim. Tom Selleck.
Tiny Tom.
Got Tom Selleck in there.
Great stuff.
No, I mean the Tom Joyner pull was a very
still
good
don't
pull.
Know who that is.
Who the hell is Tom Joyner?
I know Wally Joyner from Royal. He's a morning show host. He's like one of the most popular black hosts in the history of radio.
Oh, never heard of him.
Very, very, very popular radio host. Who is the winner of that game? I believe Paul in Independence is the winner of the game. Putting you in charge of the counting in this was maybe a terrible strategy by me.
You know I can't count the double digits.
You should have just declined when you were offered the position. Paul in Independence, you are the winner of today's Pick a Player. The prize is yours. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000, the National Cash Contest. But first, Ned Yost commented on the trade deadline. We'll tell you what the manager of the Royals had to say about it coming up on The Drive. Back in on The Drive, coming up in 15 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in the National Cash Contest. Ned Yost, manager of your Kansas City Royals, was on MLB Network Radio. They asked him a question about the trade deadline. Here's what Ned had to say.
Now, we have spoken very little about it. As you know, the draft is coming up, and we've got four or five picks here in the first 100, and our group is extremely focused in the draft room, going over players from all over the country, making sure that, we get these picks right. So, the majority of our focus and intensity has been in that draft room. I talked to Dayton about since we've been on the road once or twice, but it hasn't been about buying or selling. It's just making sure that he'll call and make sure everything's good. Do I need anything? Do we have any ideas on anything that we want to do? But not anything on the buying and selling end of it yet.
That was Ned Yost on MLB Network Radio. I obviously don't think that Ned Yost is going to go on the radio and say, Dayton and I talk all the time about trading guys. We're going to do it as quickly as possible. But I also don't think that Ned and Dayton need to have too many of those conversations, because it seems very obvious what the Royals are going to do. Kelvin Herrera is not going to be on the team come August 1st. John Jay is not going to be on the team come August 1st, barring injury. The Royals are going to be one of the more active teams at the trade deadline. And I'm not talking active like acquiring pieces. I'm talking like active as in getting rid of players. So they can say they don't talk about it and all that kind of stuff. But John Heyman, who is as sourced in baseball as anybody, is not coming up with those rumors on his own. I think the Royals are openly taking phone calls and openly making phone calls about players to get a gauge on the market. And I think the Royals are going to be one of the first teams to make moves. Not one of the last teams. I think the Royals could be the team that sets the beginning of the trade deadline and is one of the first team to unload pieces.
You say they're going to be active. Thank you for clarifying that you mean they're going to be sellers and not buyers.
I was just trying to make sure you know how people are.
Appreciate that, buddy. He was talking about the draft there momentarily, and I thought to myself, talk about just an uncertain science. In the NBA, if you draft a guy with a top two, top three pick, you don't just expect him to be good. You expect him to end up in the Hall of Fame. In the NFL, if you draft a quarterback, number one, number two, number three overall, you expect him to turn around your franchise for a decade. In baseball, there's only been one number one pick ever to end up in the Hall of Fame, and that's Ken Griffey Jr. I think he's in or is on his way in. So my point is this. As many times as in the draft you've got, he mentioned five of the top 100 picks, that you go out and you find a Mike Moustakas, you find an Eric Hosmer, just as often you end up with a Raul Mondesi Jr. or a Bubba Starling, who you thought you were going to turn around your organization. That being said, it's really the only thing that this organization can do. You very astutely pointed out earlier today, Hanley Ramirez, essentially the Red Sox said, you know what, even though we're paying you $20-plus million a year, we can go ahead and eat the money because we've got the money available. The Red Sox and the Royals are playing two different games, even though they're both called baseball. So for the Royals, they've only got one way to win a World Series, and it's what they did in 2014 and 2015. You build from the ground up because they don't have the assets and the money that some of these other bigger organizations have.
We will get back to that point momentarily, but right now the Royals lineup is out today. No Alex Gordon again for the Kansas City Royals. John Jay leading off. Whit Merrifield, Mike Moustakas, Salvador Perez, Jorge Soler, Hunter Dozier, Alcides Escobar, Miguel Almonte, and Ramon Torres for the Kansas City Royals today.
Sounds like the old Bronx Bombers from the 20s.
I want to play this for you momentarily because I'm a little bit confused on what fans want the Royals to do. We'll play this first and we'll get to it on the other side. This is Jeffrey Flanagan on the day shift about who is available for the Royals to trade.
Everybody but Salvi, to be honest. And I go back to what Dayton Moore told us at the winter meeting last December, is that, look, I mean, they're in full rebuild mode. And, yeah, they're open for business, open for sales, open for trades, and that's not changed.
I think one of the best things that Major League Baseball players have been able to sell to fans of their organization, in order to be really good, we have to be really, really bad. Think about the culture right now that's in baseball. Think about the free agency market. Hey, we're doing this for the best interest. We're trying to win at all costs. Hey, I know right now we're pocketing this money. I know right now that we're still charging you the same thing we were charging you when we were good. But hey, this is in the best interest of you that we're really bad this season. But I do think that some Royals fans have a little bit of a defeatist attitude. Hey, we won our World Series, so now if this is what you think is best, hey, trade everybody. Trade Salvi, trade Jorge Soler, trade Whit Merrifield, trade Jacob Junis. To me, at some point, the Royals have to establish who they want to be as the new core of the team. Whit Merrifield, I understand he's 29 years old, but he is a really good player on, you can't have a more friendly contract for a guy on your team than Whit Merrifield. If you're going to trade him, do it now, but don't wait 2 years to trade Whit Merrifield. If you want to trade him and you think you get a haul that improves the Royals down the line, I mean, I'd rather keep Whit Merrifield, but I understand the business aspect of it. Man, Jacob Junis to me is a – I'm not trading Jacob Junis. Obviously, it goes without saying, if you get the right deal, you trade Jacob Junis. What deal could you get that could be better than having a 25-year-old, very talented starting pitcher? What deal are the Royals getting that they can have something better than Jacob Junis? What deal could you get better than a guy like you have with Jorge Soler? That's a 25, 26-year-old outfielder that can hit 300 and hit for power. Man, those guys need to be part of your core. I understand you got to move on from a guy like John Jay. I understand you maybe need to move on from a guy like Mike Moustakas that you're not going to sign. Man, some of these guys, I'm not willing to entertain the conversation. Salvador Perez is the heart and soul of the team. He's the face of your organization, and he's on a very friendly contract that he just signed. That should be a contract you're willing to absorb. The goal in baseball shouldn't be let's build our team down as low as we can do it and hope that we're good in 5-7 years. Man, keep some guys you want to have on your team as the core of the team and build around those pieces and trust Dayton to either hit on the draft or tell your owner to open up the pocketbooks and go make good free agent signings to make your team competitive. It shouldn't be let's build our team down to a 61-win team and hope that 4 years from now we can hit the draft like Chris Bryant and get Javier Baez and be good years later. I can't believe that fans have allowed baseball billionaire owners to sell them on, hey, for the next 3 years, let's keep all the money that you guys give us, and maybe we'll be good in 4 or 5 years.
Okay, then who's the nucleus of the team? You brought up Jacob Junis. You brought up Whit Merrifield. Are those the guys that you want the Royals to build around for the next few years? Because to me, the alternative, and again, you can answer that in a second. When it comes to Salvador Perez, we had Vernon here about a half hour ago. And he was talking about, well, he's the face of the franchise and the glue that held him together and the reason that people come out there. Yeah, and he might hit 30 home runs and 100 RBI. He might do that next year and the year after that and still be the best defensive catcher in baseball on a team that wins 60 games. So what's the point of having one or two really good players on a really crappy team when the alternative, when the vice versa to that is you're still a crappy team? Instead of maybe being a 65-win team, you only win 60 games if you don't have Salvi, if you don't have Junis, if you don't have Whit. But what you do have is a minor league organization that right now is considered the 28th best minor league organization in all of baseball. The Royals have to replenish that the same way that when they brought up your Dono Ventura, when they brought up Eric Hosmer, when they brought up Mike Moustakas. It can't just be one or two guys in the minor league organization. You ain't the Red Sox, you ain't the Yankees. You don't just bring up a couple of guys and then pair them with a bunch of free agents. It has to be an entire wave of guys, which is why I disagree with you. And I say, break it down completely. If you think you have any assets that other teams would want, if you think Jacob Junis brings back trade value because he started this season really well and he's got a friendly contract, done. You're out of here. Bring back somebody younger and better. And I'd say the same thing with Witt. I'd say the same thing with Kelvin Herrera. I'd say the same thing with Salvador Perez.
Yeah, but Jacob Junis is 25 years old. Isn't Jacob Junis the guy we want the Royals to acquire? Like, if they traded a guy like Jacob Junis.
If they're ready to win, absolutely. But they're not ready to win for 2 or 3 years.
Hold on. I got to make my point. You want the Royals, in your analogy, to break it down and get younger and cheaper players. Man, can you get any younger and cheaper than Jacob Junis? He's 25 years old, and he's on a contract that's absolutely nothing in the grand scheme of baseball. Aren't we talking about if the Royals are going to do just that, wouldn't they be breaking it down to hopefully acquire a guy like Jacob Junis? He is on a nothing contract. It'd be one thing if he was on an Ian Kennedy kind of contract and you were trying to trade him. You're not paying him absolutely anything. He's 25 years old. I mean, you hope by the time he's 28, he's in the prime of his career, and then he's on a team that's good. But Jacob Junis is making $550,000 this year. Another deal. You got club control of Jacob Junis between now and 2022. Why give that up to hopefully acquire somebody exactly like Jacob Junis?
Because you're not going to be good until 2022. So you might as well have the quote-unquote Jacob Junis type of pitcher, a guy that's going to have an ERA in the low threes, a guy that's going to eat up innings, a guy like Whit Merrifield that's going to play solid in the field, always get you a 280 batting average, knocking 80 RBI. Those guys are great to have, especially when you're paying them pennies on the dollar. They're just not great to have right now. That's who the Royals are going to need on the team 3 years from now. So I know it's twisted logic, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to most people, but that's exactly what you want to do. You want to trade away Jacob Junis right now to find the Jacob Junis 3 years from now.
And I guess it is very surprising to me that we have let baseball billionaire owners convince us that the best thing for their team to do is be as terrible as possible for the next 3 years, while they still charge you the same amount as if they were good, they're still charging the same for parking, they're still charging for hot dogs, and they're allowed to keep all the money in hopes of in 2019 we can find really good prospects, or 2020. I can't believe that baseball fans have had the wool pulled over their eyes that you have to win 50 games for the next 3 years in order to be good. That is the most backward logic I've ever heard.
It is, but as a fan, it sucks, but here's the deal. Remember a couple of years ago when the Royals were competitive and everybody from the top to the bottom of the organization said, yeah, go ahead and get rid of Sean Manaea. Go ahead and get rid of a couple of the gems in the minor league organization to get Johnny Cueto, to get Ben Zobrist. That's being called all in. And we all agreed, you have to go all in, try to win a World Series. Mm-hmm. If you're not all in, you might as well be all out. Because if you're not, if you're somewhere in the middle of the road and you got a couple of good players that you're paying money to, or even if you're not, you're not really getting anywhere if your team's losing 100 games a season, which is my logic on being proactive opposed to reactive with Salvador Perez. Is he still a great player? Yeah. Is he the face of this franchise? Yeah. Is he the reason why I go out to Kauffman Stadium? Absolutely. But if he's going to be under contract, a friendly deal for the next 3 years on a 60-win team, what does that really get you?
Coming up in 5 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in the National Cash Contest, and we'll get back to our poll question about Patrick Mahomes. We'll tell you what it is if you missed it next on The Drive. Back in on The Drive, it's your chance now to win $1,000 in the National Cash Contest. It's $1,000 on the 30s. Text the word PET, P-E-T, PET, P-E-T, 72881. That's PET, and you can be the $1,000 cash winner in the National Cash Contest. 610 Sports Radio is the only sports radio station in Kansas City giving you a chance to win up to $12,000 each weekday. Just listen in on the 30s from 7A to 7P. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour at 5:30. You got two more chances to win this week, but why not go ahead and try to win right now? Complete rules and listings over at 610sports.com. One more time for those of you in the back that are hard of hearing.
What?
PET, P-E-T. Text the word PET, P-E-T, to 72881. Our next topic kind of goes with what we were just talking about, because your philosophy, I don't want to put words in your mouth, is you would move on from guys like Salvador Perez. You would move on from guys like Whit Merrifield. You'd move on from guys like Jacob Junis, because at least it would appear in the short term the Royals aren't going to be very good. So start to prepare for 2021. Start to prepare for 2022, because there's no value in winning 75 games. You might as well go ahead and break the thing down and hope to get back to the playoffs, win the World Series in the immediate future.
Yeah, correct? It's all about winning championships. If it's about being crappy or really crappy, I just as well assume get rid of the players.
We've been doing this series for the last couple of days, and we kind of stumbled upon it. And I have been really surprised at what people have said. Yesterday, we did Philip Rivers. So there's two buttons. On the left, there is Philip Rivers. You can press the button, and Patrick Mahomes can be Philip Rivers, who, in my opinion, is going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I know some of you disagree, but it's hard to argue the numbers with a guy who is top 10 all-time in yards passing and top 7 right now in touchdown passes. Philip Rivers, in my opinion, is going to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I don't want to argue about it. Or you can press the button on the right and literally have any other quarterback. He could be Joe Webb. He could be Kirk Cousins. He could be Tom Brady. He could be Jeff George. You could get any other quarterback other than Philip Rivers. I was surprised at how many people chose to press the button to pick literally any other quarterback. Now, we would agree there's a chance you get Tom Brady. But the overwhelming likeliness in that scenario is you get a quarterback that is much worse than Philip Rivers. So today we did the exact same thing with Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan is a very, very good quarterback. Matt Ryan has 6 seasons in which he's thrown more than 25 touchdown passes, 1 rookie of the year, 4-time Pro Bowler. He's 1 MVP, offensive player of the year, 1 Super Bowl appearance, but a losing record in the playoffs, 2 NFC championship game appearances. Would you take Patrick Mahomes to be Matt Ryan? It's very split, 50-50 on whether you take Matt Ryan or roll the dice and become any other quarterback. Maybe this is my disconnect when it comes to other sports fans. And I understand we all come from different perspectives. Spectre cheers for Duke. You cheer for Kansas. So success for you and success for me as a Missouri fan are 2 completely different concepts. But you cheer for Kansas, right?
Mm-hmm.
You guys don't win the championship every year. I know you guys like to think you win the championship
every
year.
Nah, we don't.
But you don't win the championship every year.
No.
But you would agree, way more times than not, KU has a good season. Even in years you get knocked out in the second round of the NCAA tournament, KU is a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. They put guys in the league. They get lottery picks. You really enjoy the season and watching your team. But the luck of the draw, the randomness of the NCAA tournament happens, and you get knocked out. I'm always surprised, shocked at how many sports fans are so boom or bust and maybe don't appreciate and enjoy the middle. Like, I remember when the Royals were good in 2014, everybody was selling, enjoy the ride, enjoy the ride, enjoy the ride. Everybody wants their team to win a championship, but that is such a small percentage of teams that actually get to do it. And all of us have cheered for a team at some point, I guess, other than if you're a KU basketball fan, that you've seen your team terrible. Like, really bad. If you're a Chiefs fan, boy, you've seen some really bad years if you cheer for the Chiefs. So I'm always surprised if it's, hey, if we can't be the Patriots, I'd rather be the Browns. What? Like, man, I was around you guys when you were the Browns. It wasn't like people were enjoying it a whole lot and having a whole lot of fun. I'm always surprised at how many sports fans, and not just Chiefs fans, not just KU fans, just sports fans in general, are never happy with their team being good. Like, if you're an NFL team, the Chiefs, perfect example. I don't think it's that bad to be the Chiefs. Like, I watch a lot of football, man. It's a lot worse situations than the Chiefs. Are there a lot better situations? Absolutely. I'd rather be the Packers than the Chiefs. I'd rather be the Steelers than the Chiefs. Or the Seattle Seahawks, or a team that's won a Super Bowl. That's the goal of every team. Man, being the Chiefs, an organization that wins 10, 11, 12 games, hosts playoff games, competitive, relevant, you have a good time going out to the game, a good experience. Man, there's a lot of value in that to me. So I guess I'm always surprised at maybe the keeping up with the Joneses mentality where if we can't be the Patriots, I'd rather be the Browns and hope that someday we can be the Patriots and maybe not content with being a good, well-run organization.
Well, it's totally different with the two teams that shared the Truman Sports Complex. With the Chiefs, I agree with you. And to me, at some point, as a sports fan, it becomes as much about being entertained as it is about winning or winning a championship or going deep in the playoffs. Case in point, Dick Vermeil's teams, I don't ever remember them advancing deep, going to an AFC championship game or anything like that. But every Sunday, I was glued to my TV because I knew that it was going to be highly entertaining. So that's all I would say is it's about winning championships. And in the case of the Kansas City Royals, the reason that's such a unique scenario, Carrington, when's the last time the Royals, besides the last couple of years, were around 500, were around a 78, 80, 82 in baseball team? The answer is never. It's always, at least in my lifetime.
Hot or cold, one of the two.
And it's really hot, like getting to and winning a World Series back-to-back seasons, or really cold, like finishing last place like and losing 110 games 4, 5, 6 years in a row. To me, that's the difference, and that's the disconnect where, from a Royals perspective, we can only see it one way. We're either going to be really, really good, or we're going to be really, really bad. And frankly, the way that the baseball landscape is set up for an organization like the Royals with a market size like the Royals, they ain't the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Rangers, or the Dodgers. Those teams can mess up time and time again on players, on contracts, and just eat the contract and pay the next guy more money. The reason the Royals got really good there for a 4, 5, 6 year stretch was because Dayton Moore was able to pay guys cheap money on rookie contracts, and there was a bunch of them that succeeded at the same time. So all I'm saying, that's the only way for an organization like the Kansas City Royals to get back to consistently winning games and being competitive in the playoffs and winning World Series is completely breaking it down to completely build it back up.
And I guess, again, we all come at it from different angles and viewpoints because of the team that we cheer for. But I don't think there's anything wrong with being Oregon in football. Oregon in football during that entire run did not win a national championship. So it would have been better to be Alabama, would have been better to be Auburn. But I'd certainly rather be Oregon than be KU if the option is, well, I can't be Alabama, so I'd rather be as bad as possible. Like, I guess I just don't understand that philosophy. I cheer for Missouri. Of course I want my program to be Kansas. But let's be honest, that ain't realistic. Missouri never in my lifetime is going to magically become Kansas in basketball. You know what I'd love to be? Gonzaga. Never won a national championship, been to one Final Four in this time. Really well-run program, but clearly on a rung below all the other teams. I don't think that's anything wrong with being Gonzaga. A really good program that people respect. You put guys in the league, nationally respected, but not on the tier of all those other ones. Maybe that's the viewpoint that I'm coming from. So when I hear a Royals fan who, you just said, has either been incredibly hot or incredibly cold, there's no value in winning 84 games. Man, I remember a time we all would have clamored to win 84 games as Royal fans. I remember back in the day, all we wanted the Royals to do was be relevant in the summer.
We were cool with that the last couple of years, but looking forward, 84 games? That's a pipe dream. What players do you see on this team in the pipeline, minor league organization, or on the roster right now that are going to win 84 games in the next few years? I think Kansas City fans would be ecstatic the same way that after 14 and 15. 2016 and last year when the team was very average, people were definitely willing to deal with that because of how good it was a couple of years before. But then you look on the horizon and you're like, damn, it looks pretty dark going forward. So I just as well assume not just suck, but really, really suck for the next 2 or 3 years. If that means that you're going to get better players, restock the minor league organization, a group of them are going to come to the big leagues, a la Yordano Ventura and Mike Moustakas and Eric Hosmer, and win together. I think most people are willing to give up the difference between an 80-win season and a 68-win season for a World Series appearance 3, 4, 5 years down the road. We've done that same thing before.
Text line 69306. Nobody strives for second place. Man, being Burger King and being the CEO of Burger King sounds really good. You know what I mean? Like, being the number two fast food restaurant seems really good. That I'm sure Burger King would love to be McDonald's. All of them would love to be McDonald's. But I'm sure Burger King is very realistic about what they are. Hey, you know what? We ain't catching McDonald's. But you know what we can do? We can try to beat the hell out of Wendy's. We can try to beat the hell out of Taco Bell and all these other ones because the race has already been won.
I'm going Junior Bacon Cheeseburger for Whopper. For the record, Whoppers suck. I'm going Junior Bacon Cheeseburger.
So again, I am just always surprised to hear people say either it's championship boom or bust, like I've seen in this poll of, hey, I wouldn't take Phillip Rivers. I'll take the boom or bust win. We agree. The overwhelming likeliness is the bust. We watch guys fail all the time in professional sports. Man, you guys remember that Andrew Luck, he was supposed to be the greatest quarterback prospect since John Elway. 19 teams and cities and fan bases wanted their organization to get Andrew Luck. How's that working right now? Man, we see guys fail at this level all of the time. Man, sometimes you got to count your blessings. And maybe I am just the Missouri fan, I'm the defeatist, and I'm cool with my team being average or below average.
Yeah, you are.
Sometimes I just look at it and I think that people always chase trying to be top when the top is just such a small percentage that you just got
to
live in reality.
You came to reality.
And deal
it
with,
took you a while. You got there.
And deal with the percentage of everything else. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Coming up next, we asked a question that all of you will have to deal with this Memorial Day weekend. We tell you what it is next on The Drive. Back in on The Drive, coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. This weekend, some of you are heading to the lake. Maybe you got a barbecue, you got a picnic, cookout, whatever you call it. You're going to be playing a little bit of yard games. I, myself, there's a couple things that I think I'm the best person in Kansas City at. Number one, it's NBA Jam at the arcade. If If any of you'd like to play, send me a message or text in, and I'd be happy to give you the buckets with Chris Mullin and Tim Hardaway.
What arcade you got? Up, down, or where?
Wherever there's an NBA Jam system, if you're trying to play and lose to me in NBA Jam,
I'll get you with Horace Grant and Scottie Pippen, no problem.
I also think, I don't know if I'm top five at bags in the city. Definitely top three in the city. I'm a decent beer pong player, maybe top 50 in the city. I mean, there's some things I think I'm, you know, pretty elite at when it comes to people in Kansas City. And a lot of people are going to be, you know, playing little yard games this weekend. So we got a little bit of a toss-up question. If you could pick one local athlete to be your beer pong partner for the weekend, who are you picking? You can't pick anybody nationally, because I think the obvious pick would be Steph Curry. Steph Curry would probably be the greatest beer pong player of all time. You can pick one local athlete that you and that person are running doubles at your local barbecue. Sports Machine Sean Levine is someone who looks like they have played a lot of beer pong in their day. Who are you running twos with in beer pong?
Ironically, I'm sure that a pro athlete's not even as good as like the best player at some frat house down at K-State or UMKC. So that's actually who I'd pick. But if you're going to make me pick an athlete, who can drink and who can also drop buckets? But who's not going to get too drunk that they won't be able to drop the buckets? I guess I'm going to have to say Mike Moustakas. I know the guy's got a good arm. Something tells me that he could down a brew or two. And his body type is one that could actually hold the alcohol. You know what I'm saying? He's a bigger dude. So I'm saying after we beat you and your partner, whoever you're going to tell me, you choose a couple of games. And then you're fighting, oh, we got to play another game. Oh, best of seven, best of nine. Everybody knows those type of people. You win one, it becomes a best of three. That's going to be you and your partner. And me and Moose are going to keep winning. The question is, how drunk is he going to be? I think he can hold his liquor. So I'm choosing Moose.
I'm going to the text line here momentarily. Spec, this weekend, you can pick any local player, athlete. If you want to pick Mayor Sly James, I guess you can pick anybody that lives in Kansas City, Missouri. If you want to have Lynn Dawson playing beer pong, I guess you can pick that. You get anybody locally. Who are you picking? I know who I've got. I'll tell you guys at the end. He's got Mike Moustakas. The text line is saying Danny Duffy, who right now with his accuracy, I don't know why you'd pick him in beer pong.
I think I know why they're saying Danny Duffy. But
if that's who you want to pick, he seems like someone that would consistently throw it over the table. But hey, if you want to pick Danny Duffy, go ahead. I'm not one to tell you how to control your squad. You're running twos here. Who are you picking?
Give me 1-5. Give me Patty. Did you see that throw to DeMarcus Robinson last year in the preseason?
Hold on. How old is Patty? Can he even drink? I mean, can we even have him as a partner?
Even better. underage people play beer pong more than overage people play beer pong. That throw to DeMarcus Robinson, someone in his face, on the run, into a small window with a football, 60 yards. You don't think he can throw it the length of a small table into a small cup with a ping pong? Give me Patty.
Do we know his accuracy, Dak? I mean, he might be a guy that, again, maybe is a little too strong. He's throwing it too hard.
Big-time players make big-time throws in big-time games.
We've all played with the guy in beer pong that's treating it like he's shooting on a 10-foot basket.
That's me.
And you got to have a little touch. You got to have a little finesse.
Give me Patty. Give me 1-5.
You got to have a little finesse here.
If he throws it too hard, he spills the cup, that's still a point for us.
I can't believe that you two have left me the number one overall pick in all of this. Travis Kelce has absolutely played over 250 games of beer pong.
This week.
He might be the Cal Ripken of beer pong. I can't believe you're going to give me Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce probably keeps a setup in his trunk, and he's ready to play at any given moment. You're going to tell me in this game I get Travis Kelce? This is my team absolutely beats your team in all of this. I'll take Patrick Mahomes, who just was able to start drinking 9 months ago.
Good.
And I'll take Mike Moustakas, and you give me Travis Kelce, and we're running through this game all night.
Speck, have you ever played beer pong with anybody here at the station, specifically Carrington?
Because
there's no way he's as good as he says he is. Something tells me he's talking himself up a little bit.
Carrington doesn't drink beer, so he doesn't know anything about beer pong.
We can set it up, and we can do it on Facebook Live whenever you want.
Let's do it.
I don't run from a challenge. If you want to play beer pong, and we can go set it up, and we can zoom, 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 and I'll throw the, I mean, I guarantee I'm better than you at this.
And we're
I'm
drinking beer, you, and you're drinking high-quality H2O.
So after two or three games. The little Bud Light Limeritas in a small can. Carrington doesn't know the first thing about Game 7, 6 Bud Lights in your system.
That's what I'm saying.
In 90 minutes. You don't know the first thing about it.
I don't even think that I would pick Carrington as my first pick at 6'10 as a beer pong partner.
Oh, not even close.
Having not seen anybody play, I'm taking Binkley. Something tells me that dude has played plenty of beer pong. And if he hasn't played plenty of beer pong, after 10, 12 beers, he's going to be just fine.
Binkley might have been around when they invented beer pong.
I'm probably taking Witkowski.
Ah, good call.
We can play and set this up whenever you guys want. It's not that hard to do. We have the space. We have the equipment. And we can get the beer from Beers in the Bush. You tell me when you guys want to set up. We can set up the 6'10 two-on-two beer pong. And give me Pat from downstairs that runs. And I guarantee you we run through you guys.
You take Pat from downstairs. I'll take Susie from Stales. And we'll beat you three games in a row.
If Susie's there, I'm not going to the party.
Yeah. And then, hold on, we've been around Witkowski who can't handle his liquor. Witkowski got drunk at a work event. I don't have any respect for anybody during a work event that has
to
take an Uber home.
But to be fair, he probably had like 14 beers.
Has to take an Uber home. Sloppy he was. I'm taking Travis Kelce, and we're running through anybody you want.
I've only seen you sloppy one time.
When?
I've been out with you a handful of times. I've seen you sloppy one time.
When?
I would just... You're offended. Like,
when?
You've never been sloppy.
I'm trying to figure out
you
what
were
this
at
was.
This event also, Speck. Would you say that this guy was sloppy
when?
At Danny's wedding?
I was definitely not sloppy.
Are you
at
kidding
Danny's
me?
The only thing I would say about that wedding was Carrington was underdressed.
That's definitely the only thing.
I mean, I had like 10 tequila waters, so I can't speak to the coherence
you
of what
you and I
Harrison.
Had a heart-to-heart that I don't even think you remember right now. It was like 20 minutes. Pulled me aside. I just know Carrington was way underdressed.
You don't even remember That's the only thing I know.
I had two Boulevard Wheats at Danny's wedding. What are you talking? I was sloppy?
You were underdressed.
Yeah,
would you agree with you underdressed?
I dressed comfortably. I wasn't the one
it's
getting
a
married.
Wedding.
I wasn't the one
comfortable
is
not.
Wearing Jordans and khakis from Target.
I did wear Jordans to that thing. Old Navy. Let's be respectful.
Old Navy. All right,
I was wearing Old Navy.
You're wearing Jordans, Old Navies, and something from Banana Republic.
I wasn't the one getting married.
With an undershirt.
Look, Harrison, it's all about you. As long as you're comfortable, somebody else's wedding, wear whatever you want.
I just know I wasn't getting married.
He also
married
showed
here.
Up late to Heiss's wedding.
In biker shorts and flip flops.
I actually rode in the elevator up with Heisler to his wedding. I rode up in the elevator.
Unbelievable.
I was like, hey, I guess you're getting married here.
Here comes the bride. Or never mind, that's just Carrington.
It was both of us. We were walking in.
Oh
it, was,
God,
it was a great
bro.
Time. Coming up in 120 seconds, we get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City, and we help get you to the lake. If you're headed there, you're headed to the in-laws, your grandma's, wherever you're headed for the holiday weekend. The hit's coming up in 2 minutes on The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.